This past week, I've been absent from work since Tuesday, and so I've been at home, laying in the bed, trying to get myself better. And I find myself, as I lay there, being engrossed in the story about the war between Russia and Ukraine. And there was one source that was detailing that I was watching how the United Nations discussed about what the U.S. ambassador was wanting to provide for the Ukrainian refugees. And of course, there was other ambassadors that stood up for other nations that had followed suit, offering their thoughts and wisdoms prior to the United Nations General Assembly's vote on whatever that was they were going to vote on. I ended up falling asleep before I called all that entail. But as I reflected on that in preparation for the sermon, I began to think about that position of ambassador. You know, I think our very own Suzanne's father at one time was an ambassador for the United States, and she's probably got a lot more richer detail about it than I do. But, you know, the ambassador is the most highest-ranking individual within a nation. So, in other words, if I was the ambassador to Africa, I'd be the highest-ranking United States official in that nation. And these officials, they can speak on behalf of their nation regarding treaty regulations or negotiations, as well as immigrations, policies, foreign aid projects, and humanitarian aid. And if you've ever been to Washington, D.C., there's a portion of Massachusetts Avenue called Embassy Row. And there is where all other nation ambassadors live. And the uniqueness of these buildings is that while they sit on the United States soil, the United States government and any police forces have no jurisdiction within that area. So if there's a crime that happens inside an embassy of another nation, or a diplomat commits a crime, our local police forces, as well as our federal FBI and federal police forces, they have no jurisdiction. And when there's a case in point that was brought about while I was in and out of my rest watching some of these things, and it talked about in 1956 as the Soviet tanks rolled into the country of Budapest, Hungary, there was an anti-communist Roman Catholic cardinal named Joseph Minsky, I believe I'm saying that correct. He took refuge in the U.S. Embassy back in 56, and he lived within that embassy for 15 years, never going outside the doors, because if he'd even stepped 1 foot out of the front door of the embassy onto the cobblestone walkway, the communist secret police could have arrested him at that very moment. But because he was inside under the guard and care of the United States ambassador, well, he was protected, and no one dared cross that line. Now, the reason I mention all this is because the Bible teaches that you and I, people who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, are ambassadors for him. So during sermon time, as I tried to explain a little bit of my brief educational moments of learning what an ambassador does from being caught up on the news, I want to share this morning in our sermon time what it looks like to be an ambassador for Christ. That means we're going to look at the mission of an ambassador. We're going to look at the message of an ambassador, the conduct of an ambassador, and the embassy with which that us as ambassadors represent. And to see all this, we're going to find it, I believe, in a very short passage of Scripture, but one that's very common to us, found in 2 Corinthians. So if you brought your Bibles, begin to find 2 Corinthians chapter 5 now. Excuse me just a minute. Nathan, I'm going to have to cough. Cut me off. I'm done. I want to ask you, those of you who are not looking at your own Bibles, or maybe you're at home and don't have a Bible present, join with me as we, on the screen, as we read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. Again, 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 21. Verse 16 says, "So then from this point on, we won't recognize people by human standards," Paul says, "even though we used to know Christ by human standards. This isn't how we know him now. So then if anyone is in Christ, that person is a part of a new creation. The old things have gone away. And look, new things have arrived." All these new things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and who gave us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, God was reconciling the world to himself through Christ, but not counting people's sins against them. He has trusted us with the message of reconciliation. So we as ambassadors who represent, we are ambassadors who represent Christ. Let me say that again. Verse 20 says in the beginning, "So we are ambassadors who represent Christ, and God is negotiating with you through us. We beg you as Christ's representative, be reconciled to God. God calls the one who did no sin to be sin for our sake, so that through him we could become the righteousness of God." It's our tradition to conclude each reading saying, "This is the word of God for the people of God," and all respond saying, "Thanks be to God." Would you please join me in a short prayer? Holy and loving God, we come this morning and we give thanks for this time to dive deeply into your word and to look at a concept, Lord, one that is very powerful, but one that we may not have taken so seriously. And may your Holy Spirit speak through me and minister to the hearts of all who are worshiping with us this morning to challenge as well as encourage us to not only embrace our identity as an ambassador, to fulfill our portion of the duties that come with such a prestigious title. This I pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Now I guess the most relevant question we should answer before going any further in this sermon is this: do you see yourself as an ambassador for the kingdom of God? Do you see yourself as an ambassador for the kingdom of God? Now, knowing about etymology, and that's a word I've thrown at y'all before, and so I'm sure you remember, but just in case you don't, etymology is the study of the origin of words and the way in which their meanings have changed throughout history. Knowing about etymology, I thought, well, maybe I better go back, because usually, at least in my ignorance, I thought an ambassador was nothing but just a mouthpiece for a higher authority. But I went back and wanted to see what the word meant when Paul wrote it in the Greek. And I come across the Greek word, it's called prosubio, and it is defined by a biblical scholar in a way that I just want to share with you what he says, because I don't think I could write it any better. This Bible scholar is named William Barclay, and he said that Paul's use of this word ties directly into the Roman Empire's use of ambassadors. So when a Roman army conquered a new territory, the military governor would rule over it for a while, but eventually the Senate of Rome would dispatch a team of 10 ambassadors to that place. And that is the same exact Greek word Paul uses here in our text. So it would be the job of those 10 people to determine the boundaries of the new province, to draw up a constitution for its new administration, and then return to the Senate to submit what they have done for ratification by that political body. You see, they were and are the men responsible for bringing others into the family of the Roman Empire. And Barclay says, Paul thinks of himself as the one who brings others to the terms of God, where they can come become citizens of the empire of God, members of the family of God. Now, whether you've ever studied this topic or not, As confessing believers and followers of Jesus Christ, you need to understand you are an ambassador of Christ. Not just me because I'm the preacher. You as well are as an ambassador of Christ. Our appointment was sealed when we made our profession of faith in Christ, and our commission was given the moment that we were baptized. It was a reminder that this world is not our home. Heaven is our home. Our success in this life will not be judged by anything other than how faithful we've been have been to represent the God who reconciled you to Himself and made you His ambassador. I mean, if we go back to verse 18 of our reading, we see that our mission is the ministry of reconciliation. As an ambassador of the United States of America is to be one who makes and keeps good relationships between the USA and whatever country he's serving, he or she is serving in. Our job is to bring people together for the glory of God. The ministry of reconciliation is explicit in Scripture where it says God is making His appeal through us. It demands as well as commands us to be the conduit of helping people experience the presence, power, and peace of God as well as to know God's salvation. And this is every person's calling. This is every believer's mission. It doesn't matter if you're young or old. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if you're educated or uneducated. It don't matter if you're male or female. God made people for Himself, and even though they've gone off away from Him, all of us have journeyed away from Him at some point in our lives, He still loves each one of us, and He wants each one of us to return to Him. And here's where the rubber meets the road. He wants to use you and me to help bring people back. Now, I know how challenging that last statement is with how we Christians in the United States of America have made faith something that is now not outwardly expressed, but only privately and inwardly acknowledged. Somewhere in our lifetime, our faith has become something that we only do on Sundays as an outward expression for many. Yet, I remind you today, friends, that that mindset robs us of the true meaning of what Paul is communicating as being an ambassador for Christ. The mission is reconciliation. The mission is reconciliation. Please hear me. Because in the coming months, we're going to be tempted to believe that our mission is going to be about winning arguments. Now, for those of you who are new to the church, this won't have any relevance for you. You won't exactly understand. But for those of you who are dyed-in-the-wool Methodists, who've been caught up in all this garbage about the split of the denomination, hear what I'm telling you. We are going to be asked, we're going to be challenged, we're going to be tempted to let our focus and our mission become something other than reconciliation. People are going to mince words and say things like, well, if we don't stand on this side of the fence for theological purity, then you're not standing up for Jesus Christ. We have to stand together in unity to defend the integrity of Scripture. Let me tell you something, friends. I understand this perspective as well as anyone. But God has always done a superb job of preserving Scripture throughout history. No matter how bad humans wanted to screw up the church or the message of the church, God has always prevailed in keeping it true. You and I ain't powerful enough, smart enough, or wise enough to screw up the plans of God. What is of God will last. And what isn't of God won't. That's not a famous quote from Michael. That's from somebody out of the book of Acts when he was talking to his compadres that were the Pharisees. Our mission, friends, is not about winning debates, but a ministry of reconciliation, of winning people for the kingdom of God. Now let's move from the mission to the message of an ambassador. Excuse me. And here's the good news. The message is an unchanging one. Our message is about how God in Christ reconciled the world to himself. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God. That's the gospel, friends. That's it. Now, you may have a little more detailed version of how this knowledge became a reality in your life, but at the end of the day, each one of us are sinners in need of God's grace. Jesus' death on the cross saves us from our sins when we repent and trust him as our Lord and Savior. And while that should be simply enough, it wasn't for me. Now, I'm not going to claim out, since we're on Facebook Live, the denominations that have influenced my life. But those of you who've been here long enough, you've heard me call them out before, all three of them, other than the United Methodist Church. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. I ain't never found a church theology that was as rich in understanding of God's grace as the United Methodist Church. Nowhere. It wasn't until I sat in a little white frame building out in the middle of nowhere where her grandpa was preaching, that I began to understand that there was something about grace that was working on my behalf before I even knew that I needed something called a Savior in my life. That was rich, because where I had come from, I thought it was all up to Michael Bolin and my willpower to be a good boy. And I want to tell you something, friends, my willpower wasn't strong enough for me to be good. We have the richest theology. And look, I know that the vernacular throws people off. I get it. I don't understand what you mean, prevenient grace, justifying grace, sanctifying grace. What does all that mean? I thought there was one grace, blah, 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 blah. Yes, you're right, there is. And I'm not trying to dismiss anybody's trying to wrap their mind around this. But it's very simple. I don't care what you do for a living. Jackie's an accountant or a tax guy. He's got his own vernacular that he uses with his little group of tax people that only they understand, that the rest of us wouldn't. Michael works for Carroll County Electric. They got a vernacular they use with inside their house that nobody else understands. I'm an electrician. If I talk about a Corona, I'm not talking about that something that you pop open in a bottle and find your beach wherever you drink it at. I'm talking about something that's specific to the trade of electricity. When I talk about a bus being an electrician, I ain't talking about a yellow thing that dumps kids out or picks them up. I'm talking about something that conducts, that is connected to conduct electricity from point A to point B. Likewise, when we have talk about theology and the grace of God, we have a vernacular that is specific in trying to define the aspects of how God's grace works in our life. And there's not a church, in my opinion, that has any richer understanding of it than the United Methodist Church. So when you go to tell somebody the message of an ambassador, that unchanging message, and how it impacted your life, you can make it as simple or as complex as I just did. But whatever you do, don't sell short how that grace has touched and healed and transformed your heart. Because that's what people are wanting to know. They're not looking for you to use 50-cent words as much as they're looking for you to be authentic and transparent. So if the Holy Spirit tonight, tomorrow, this week, puts it on your heart to share this message, this unchanging message, with someone in your path, then trust, friends, that the Spirit has already been working in the heart of that other individual, and all you have to do is be obedient. You and I are not held accountable for making converts. That's the Spirit's job. We are just charged with sharing the message. And like it or not, Paul says very plainly, one more time I remind you, that God is making his appeal through us. You know why? Because many folks will never see God except through us in the ways with which we exist in this world. And that's a good segue, I think, for me to get to the next point. As ambassadors, we are to conduct ourselves appropriately. Think about this. How different would our town be if everyone we encounter knew that we were a Christian? Would you act differently when you knew that someone else has an expectation of you due to your claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ? One pastor put on a blog that I read. I'm sorry. And he was talking about how he wears a collar like a Catholic priest. And he says, when I wear that collar, he said, it makes me act Christian even when I don't want to because people see me as a Christian. Building off, he says, what would it be like if all Christians in all places wore little white tabs or collars around their neck like a priest? Imagine how much different the world may be. Because there's something that you have on you that's going to hold you accountable even when you don't feel like responding to life as a Christian. He concludes his blog saying, it might just be the difference that makes all the difference. I don't know about for you, but that was pretty powerful for me. Let's continue on. As an ambassador, we are representing not our country, but something much, much more important. Our faith. Our conduct is detailed for us in verse 16 of our reading where it says, we regard no one from a human point of view, though even once we knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. You see, when you and I interact with people that we know, well, let's make it more challenging. When you and I interact with people that we make assumptions about, or we interact with people that we're prejudiced toward, our conduct as an ambassador is to no longer see the sinful brokenness of the human, but the full potential of God that lives within that individual. When we can see the Christ that lives in others, we will not do anything to discredit the gospel. Now, will it be easy? No. Will it demand you to retrain your behavioral patterns as well as your thoughts? Yeah. But if you truly want to be a godly person, then this is a must. We're not free to think what we want or act any way we want. You are God's ambassadors here on earth. And people are looking at you, especially those that you have already joyfully or pridefully told that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. And if you're supposed to be a Christian, then your lifestyle is either pointing people to Jesus or turning them away from him. And sadly, there's no in between. If you're living in a way that's contrary to God's word, then not only are people going to call you a hypocrite, they'll talk badly about God and his church. because of you. Listen, there isn't a person in this room that has a worse temper than me or a more ornerier mean streak than I do. If you don't believe me, you can ask Teresa Lynn. I share this remorsefully but with confidence because it was a way that I lived my life for over 20 years. I studied on how to intimidate people. I practiced this way of living that caused people to be uncomfortable. Like a shark in water, I fed on an atmosphere when I could smell fear from another person. And then Jesus come along. And he touched my heart. And he commanded that I do a 180. He expected me and expects me today to live the values that he holds near and dear to his heart. Jesus told me that he wanted me to be a godly man. That meant that I had to be a peacemaker. A concept that I lived for the first 17 years of my life because my parents and grandparents were divorced. As the one who said in the middle, that's all I did was play the peacemaker. When I turned 17, I threw that identity away with a few choice words that I can't seem to say in the setting of this sanctuary. Twenty-one years later, at the age of 38, I was invited by God to relearn how to live my life. Do I fail? Yes. Do I make mistakes? Have shortcomings? Well, you can ask the praise band, they can answer that for you. But even when I'm too prideful to admit my wrongs or humbly apologize for my actions, it doesn't change the fact that God's Spirit isn't challenging me inside by asking, is that the way that an ambassador for Christ is to act? And here's the most convicting part. Every one of us know how to put on the new creation when we walk in these doors on Sunday mornings. It seems to be hard sometimes when it's Tuesday morning. And look, I ain't here to convict you on it because that ain't my job. But let me encourage you, friends, if you can do it on Sunday morning for worship, then that ought to give you the encouragement to know that you can do it on any other day, at any other time, in any other circumstance. Because it's the power of God that allows you to have that new creation mentality. It's not you. It's not your will. It's God's will. So I'll ask again, do you see yourself as this kind of ambassador for the kingdom of God? If not, and I'll just be matter of fact, you've got a spiritual problem that you need to address. And the reason I share this message is because if we're going to continue to be the church of hospitality, we have to start seeing ourselves as ambassadors for Christ. Before I get to the last point, let me ask you another question. Do you see this church as an outpost of God's love and justice? Do you see this space and place as an embassy of heaven? I don't know what church I've said this to. Maybe not Green Forest, but maybe it was Wheatley. I reminded them a long time ago that church wasn't about a social club for the saints, but a hospital for the sick. And while I still believe that, I'd like for you and I to think about this church in a different way. That this is an embassy of heaven. A place when folks walk in the door that the laws of the land no longer apply. They're not only leaving behind the chaos of the USA, the evil of the world, the brokenness and abuse of humanity, but when they walk in these walls, different laws apply. The law of love, not the law of coercion. The law of justice, not the laws of might makes right and look out for number one. We need to create an environment. When people walk into this place, they experience something completely different than what they're experiencing outside. The closest thing that we can manifest to the power of God as a representation of heaven. If we'll embrace this and start living this out today, then all the goals we have set before us as a congregation, corporately and individually, will come to fruition. But if we don't, then they won't. And for those of you who've been here for a long time, you've already seen what happens when you don't do it. Right whenever Mr. Henshaw began to leave. And you know what I'm talking about. From the last 2 weeks, we've had the opportunity to minister to over 230 people through the ministries of this church. That's including in-person worship on Sunday morning, Sunday school opportunities, men's Bible study, youth, AA, food pantry. And of course, that doesn't count the number of devices that have been tagged into our online worship. Over 220-something devices, views, whatever you want to call it, from Facebook, YouTube, and I guess sermon by phone that we still do. I share these numbers with you because from this coming Sunday through Mother's Day, God's going to give us an opportunity for our outreach to grow exponentially. Palm Sunday, Easter, Mother's Day are the three highest days of worship outside of Christmas where people come into churches that usually don't go. But if we don't see ourselves as ambassadors of Christ, if we don't see this facility as an embassy of heaven, then we run the risk of those people walking in the door one time and never walking back in. We run the risk of missing an opportunity to help somebody be reconciled to God, to find a new life through His grace. So I hope and pray, friends, that you see the importance and the relevance of why we need to acknowledge, if we haven't already, our identity as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, and that you'll continue to work feverishly in trying to make this place not only a safe place, but something that represents a little bit of heaven so that people can escape from the chaos of life and come into a place where they are nurtured and refreshed through the power and the grace of God. I offer this to you this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.